We, look.
10-4, how can your podcast? Best of luck, and give me at least an hour notice if you need anything.
Isn't that cool?
I will be doing lazy things today.
I mean, he just... That's just, it's just an easy way to... Well, if I can turn this stinking thing off. Let's see, where we got, huh?
Tech failure at the worst moment.
Do you have, like, call signs? Are you, like, Big Daddy or something?
Yeah, like, Chucker, big bad daddy coming down. No, we don't do anything like that. But that would add some excitement to our daily goings-ons, you know? I don't know. Digital Ramblers, how are you today? Welcome back to our show. It's me, JJ Cannon, Digital Delight, and my good, really, really good friend, co-host extraordinaire, Chris Gamble. What's happening, brother?
Good to see you, JJ. Good to see you representing Third Coast Volleyball Club. I love that hat.
Oh, yeah, man. This past weekend, I flew back. Oh, bro, I was traveling like a son of a gun. But I flew back Saturday just to go to their 35th year anniversary. And my daughters, if y'all don't know, they play sand volleyball, and they're pretty decent at it. And over the years of them playing club at Third Coast, I've gotten to know the DeMarco family. And we've done some business with them. And Gamble, one of the things that they wanted to do over at their club was live stream sand volleyball games. And so that's something that we've, over at Digital Light, have figured out how to do. And on any given Saturday, you might want to log into the Third Coast Sand Volleyball Facebook page and take a look and see what some good youth and young adult sand volleyball competitions like, because it's pretty awesome.
I've watched it in the UK with my family, and we're very jealous of your climate there and your facilities.
Yeah.
And we have different kind of sand activities here. Normally just construction industry that play about with sand all day.
Yeah. Your beaches look a little bit cooler than ours.
I don't think the UK has got a great sand volleyball team.
Actually, they actually have They actually have a really good sand volleyball Olympic team. So we'll be seeing what they're up to here in the next year and a half, I guess. Mm. Yeah. All right, man. Well, we have a great show. We have a great show for all of our digital ramblers out there. And gosh, last week's show, Gamble?
I would say the fastest kind of uptick in listens in this first 24 hours on the podcast. Incredible listening figures, which shows an audience that's waiting for that next episode. So yeah, tune into this one. This one's going to be a popular topic. Continuing the thread of simplification is new integration, we're going to now dive deep into one of our favorite products, and a product that's been a mainstay of both our businesses for over 10 years, and that's Sonos, the wireless music system.
Yeah, absolutely, Gamble. And one of the places that I was traveling to this past week was to the Cedia Expo in Dallas. And of course, all of our favorite manufacturers were there. But one of the booths, mandatory, must stop, go to, was the Sonos booth. And they had a couple of really cool things. And one surprise that you and I have not really delved deep into, and I can only get a little surfacey on it. We'll see if we can have the Sonos team on the podcast again, so we can go a little bit deeper on this one reveal that I'm going to do today. But all right, you ready to get into this?
Let's go.
You ready to have Mike push the button?
Push it.
Push the button.
So simplification is the new integration. We talked about Wi-Fi last week being probably the most integrated platform and system in the connected home because of its handshaking and relationship it has with every product in the connected home. But I would say in terms of, you know, number of integrations, Sonos is right up there purely because it's the music system that has to talk to all the music services. And for me, that's what puts the count really high, is how many different music services they talk to. And we've all got our favorites, but everybody's favorites is on Sonos.
Yeah, and there are a variety of different reasons of why Sonos is the favorite. I mean, one, they are the innovators of that particular wireless streaming music. So yours is streaming services, and when you talk about streaming services, you're talking about like Spotify and Apple Music and Pandora and Deezer and all the other ones that are obscure but have a very large listening audience is available for your pleasure on Sonos. And the interface is so easy, man. That app, whew.
Yeah, you know, the app is a software company. Ultimately, they've embedded great software inside good-looking form factors, good-looking speakers, sound bars, and delivered you, the front end is the app. That's where you can see all the rooms and zones of music. You can choose what you want to play in those rooms. You can play those rooms at different volumes. You can create small groups of audio, maybe kitchen, dining room, outdoor terrace. And then somewhere else, there's another group of speakers where it's bedroom, ensuite bathroom, and a hallway. You know, so you can have all these different areas of music, different music in different rooms. It's the they made something that was a challenge in the past so simple, and unfortunately for a lot, it killed off a lot of what we used in the past.
You know, and I'm glad you brought that up, and that's a perfect segue of the direction that I was gonna to carry this, because Gamble, for those that don't know our history, one of the reasons that we went down the direction of, for me, is I call it keeping it reals for Gamble, it's Nulls. But the reason that we went down this acronym avenue is because of simplicity and ease of use and decentralizing our devices. And what is so important for us and those that are out of the know, there was a very popular time in our industry where you wanted to centralize everything, and one of the things that you centralized was the audio amplification that then would also matrix it and distribute it across to the entire house. Exactly what Sonos does, except they would do it in a hardwired piece of equipment in one location, whereas Sonos does it wirelessly. They're not retained, restricted to one area. And what was so appealing for me, one of the pain points was, is that if a client had a zone go bad, if their dining room zone went bad, then you had to take out this one amp, and that meant the entire house was down. Talk about pain. That is painful. And I hope you're sitting down, people, because unfortunately, our industry is still selling that solution. So just be aware and ask some questions. You might be fine with it. It might be suitable for your application. We find that a lot of our applications, it's not suitable for. But that decentralizing Gamble really added security as far as if something was to go wrong, my house is not down. So security that I would be able to at least enjoy another area of my house. Not necessarily security like my alarm is going to go down. That's not what I mean. But confidence that my system was going to be functioning correctly.
Yeah, and I will say hats off to Sonos, because they didn't buckle under pressure that was there year after year, especially at these trade gatherings where people would demand that they made a multi-zone amplifier. Like, oh, we need Sonos in a box, but for four rooms. Yeah. And Sonos were like, well, no, you just get four amplifiers or four pre-amplifiers, your streaming box, and plug it into your legacy equipment, use it as an input. And they've continued to not
conform,
buckle under that strain. Yeah. And I admire them for that, because, you know, you go to these discussions and gatherings and they get a lot of grief, you know, and they have over the years. And a lot of people would probably admit to giving them grief. You know, if they change the app, there's uproar. If they take away a feature, there's uproar. When they brought in their new era of Sonos with the software version 2, S2, there was uproar because it left older products operating on a different software version or different app. But when you listen to them and their reasons for it, it was only to continue the experience and grow the experience and enhance the listening pleasure. And that was to allow things like new features like Dolby Atmos or HD audio or Apple AirPlay, AirPlay 2. It was to bring in and continue to meet the requirements from customers and what they were listening to and how they wanted and what music they wanted to access around their home.
Yeah, absolutely, Gamble. And they have really listened to their audience, because the flexibility that you just described there, Gamble, also is seen in their design, in the different form factors that you can apply their hardware, which is incredible. And they actually came out with three and a half, I'll say half, because I don't know if they've actually really announced this last one that I'm going to talk about here. But they've continued to innovate. They're also very conscious of the market, and they're not trying to release products that are just overreaching, that are not obtainable. They're trying to expand that experience with products that are definitely being asked for in the market, but also are financially obtainable, to where you can enjoy these add-ons. And the newest one to the series that's just announced just a week and a half, maybe 2 weeks ago, is their new Sub Mini. And it's their subwoofer. And it's their new Sub Mini subwoofer, because Sonos has had the Sonos Sub for, what, decade and a half? I mean,
yeah, currently in generation 3 of the Sonos subwoofer, but it's been that consistent benchmark subwoofer that
talk about shelf life.
Shelf life, but you know, they were under a lot of pressure to bring out a mini subwoofer. They brought it out. It's not really, I don't think that it was under the pressure of the professional installers wanting it. I think the consumer wanted a smaller form factor to go with the more compact soundbars, to go with maybe a stereo set with two One speakers, Sonos One speakers, and then add a sub for that, you know, for that extra level of that extra frequency, that low end that you need in a room. But think about the Sub Mini added to a Beam and a couple of rear surrounds, and you've got a more compact, more price friendly, but yeah, still maximum bang for your buck for maybe a smaller TV room, maybe a second reception room where you've got a TV for gaming, occasional movie watching. But again, you might have your primary room that's got the larger soundbar, the Arc, the bigger sub, or two subs, because you can do that with Sonos, which is another thing which I hope we talk about, because that was just an update. Wasn't it?
Yeah, just
firmware. When it's software, it's an update. That's what's different from Sonos
impact
to the others.
Right. Yeah, but the impact that firmware update provided you, at what additional cost, Gamble? Zero. You know, like
zero.
Right. Yeah. And so the impact of that firmware update to allow you to expand that, you know, and that shelf life. On a product that's been there for 10 or 15 years. And yeah, they do have to sunset some devices. But like any device, like the device that you're watching us on, sooner or later, the chipset in the device that you're watching us on just will not handle the amount of information that you're trying to push through it. And that's what happened to, I don't know, maybe two or three of the older Sonos devices. I mean, but those devices were 15, 20 years old. I mean, talk about shelf life and getting some bang out of your buck. Sonos really provides that. And on this subwoofer front, Gamble, I really like that they are providing you with two different types of systems now. You have the Sonos Arc that is a Dolby Atmos has 11 speakers, 11 amplifiers built into it that has adjustable highs that sounds absolutely amazing. You can true play it. And now you have the traditional subwoofer that you can expand to two subwoofers, so you can put one up front and one in the back to really knock your socks off. Those subs, man, are like the original sub, out of control.
I like one under each butt cheek is really good.
Oh, yeah?
If you, you could put them under your chair, one each.
Is that what's happening again? I'm sorry. Okay. I haven't tried that.
Oh, shit. It's really awakening.
Is that? Okay. I know what I'm doing tonight. I'm going to try two subs under the sofa. We'll see what happens. I'll report back next week. Next week. But yeah, man, you can do two subs, and then you can do a Sonos amp. You can do some Sonos in-ceiling speakers, and that gives you an impactful 5.2 surround sound. Well, actually, more than five, because the soundbar itself is 11, so.
Well, it's 5.2.2 is kind of configuration. But even, you know, that, and, you know, this is where there's the split. You've got your music element, and you've got home cinema, home theater. And when you look on their website, which is a great way of finding out more about their products, is it does look like a definite split between what they offer for your theater, home cinema, and then for just music. And when you can have one speaker, create a pair, two speakers joined together, add subwoofers to that, and different size subwoofers for the different size speakers, because they've got the 5, they've got the 1, they've got the 1SL. And then, you know, you talked about their in-ceiling speakers, their on-wall speakers, in-wall speakers. They've got such a rounded range of products that when I was driving down before we recorded, I thought, where's the gap? Where's the gap? There were gaps 3 or 4 years ago. You could find a gap. Now with outdoor, I don't know if the headphones are the thing. JJ's pointing at his headphones and saying that's a gap. I think that's an innovation. I think that's potential opportunity. I don't. Maybe the gap is. I don't know. They've even plugged the gap outdoors. They've even got battery powered. They've even got Bluetooth, which right. they didn't. People moaned about it before. They didn't have a Bluetooth option.
Size options, color options.
They have that.
I know.
They have the color. I saw
that's what
a
I'm
beautiful.
Saying. They've been busy. They've been busy.
Sonos Roam in like a salmon pink,
right?
Oh, sunset or something. They called it. It was a lovely color. I just want it, but I don't need it. I just want it.
I don't need it. I just want it. No. I don't talk like that. I wish I did sometimes. I hate it. I hate it. Okay. So, but Gamble, I think one of the biggest, like talking about filling that gap, I think whenever we had just the traditional sub and we were putting it in a traditional room, like a 10 by 12, which is, or a 12 by 12, which is kind of a traditional room for us here in Texas, at least for a media room. And that sub, we were using it at a very reduced volume because it just worked really, really well. And so I think this sub mini is really going to allow us to, you know, properly place, you know, hardware in the appropriate locations. I've had several friends of mine who've put their sub minis in their spaces, and they still say that sub mini just absolutely knocks your socks off, and it's in the size appropriate room. And I think that's a consideration that people need to make. I think it's probably perfect for like a bedroom or a little small kid study, like you were saying, where you have a beam. Perfect. If you have a beam, get you a sub mini. I mean, that's just gonna be a perfect pairing. And it's only it's like only $429 Gamble. It's not a bunch
of
money.
I think that would be the, you know, I talk to customers about, you know, expanding their Sonos system. And if they've got a beam, the sub mini is the obvious one. The other obvious choice, once you've got the sub, is then to look at some rear surrounds, which could be with One SLs, Sonos Ones. Don't think you need to go into the larger speaker, the Sonos 5, if you've got that kind of setup. Consider that maybe if you've got Arc, but I would still push somebody towards an amp and some in-ceiling or in-wall speakers for their rears. That needs cabling, and that's something that, you know, can be a factor to consider. And that's where their wireless system, just add power, just give it power, connect it to the system. They mesh together. They have product. They have, you know, their kind of hidden gem is the Boost, which is the unsung hero, which you can add to a system to improve the wireless range and coverage of your Sonos speakers. And they've even thought about that.
So the flexibility gamble, you know, and you touched over it, and it was something that I was, and everybody is to this day, restricted to. If you want to get rear wires, you got to run wire from your speaker back to wherever your receiver is. And if you're running wire, sometimes it's an addition, and so you have to figure out how to get from one frame of the house into the new frame of the house, or from one area of the home to the other area. It talk about pain for an installer. I mean, this is behind the scenes, you know, where our money is really earned, you know, where a home tech pro's value truly comes in to understanding sometimes behind the cinder block or behind the sheetrock. And so trying to run wire from a speaker back to where that surround sound receiver is painful and can be very expensive. And you might have to call in another tradesperson to come in there to sheetrock repair and paint. Who knows? Crazy, right? But what's cool about Sonos is that you don't have to run the wire back to the head end, because the amp is separate, because it works on the network. As long as you get network wire to it and you get your speaker wire, you can put that rear speaker amp anywhere that is accessible. So talk about flexibility.
Yeah, and also it doesn't, we talked about Sonos kind of killed off hi-fi, multi-room music. It became the dominant brand very quickly, but they also respect the homeowner, the customer that has a good hi-fi, a good AV receiver, a stereo amplifier. You've got the port,
yeah,
which previously that was called the Sonos Connect.
Yeah,
that is an audio input, a source into your traditional amplifier to give you the streaming capabilities, to give you multi-room music. Take what you're listening to in your hi-fi, your listening room, which could be vinyl, which I'm hoping JJ is going to talk about in a moment. And you could introduce your CD collection, your, you know, a hard drive of music that you've got, and then push that and group it into other rooms and hear it through a Sonos One, a soundbar, a Move. But that audio is coming from your legacy hi-fi equipment.
So Gamble, you've been touching all the pressure points during this podcast, and you just rubbed over one of them, which was vinyl. And I think we've had an episode where we talked about the experience, and one of the experiences that I was talking about was vinyl, and the whole the whole idea of getting the nostalgia and
the experience,
the experience of opening it up and looking at it and taking it out and dropping it, you know, on the player and dropping the needle, that has never gone away. You know, old formats just don't seem to die. Like, even cassettes have their own nostalgia about them, but vinyl for certain, when it comes to quality audio and warmth and depthness of tone in music, you're going to get it in vinyl.
And you've always been able though to bring vinyl to Sonos, but
yeah,
something recent has made, looks yeah, like it's making it a lot easier.
Yeah, absolutely. And Sonos, they had something kind of tucked away in the corner, something that they didn't really make a big splash or big noise about that I saw, But they have released a new device called the Victrola. And I don't know if it's in partnership with. So I just want to put giant asterisks. I don't know what I'm talking about 100%, but I did see it. I do know it's coming out. I do know that Sonos is heavily involved with it. And it's a beautiful new device that's called the Victrola. And it is a vinyl player. And what is epic about it is the traditional way that we'd get vinyl or record player audio into a Sonos system is we'd have to buy a separate Sonos piece called a Sonos port. And it was kind of clunky because we'd have to go line in and then we had to choose that port. It was just a clunky. Could it get done? Yes, but it was clunky. What they've done with this is pretty much they've taken the port and they've built it in to the vinyl player. And now the vinyl player is its own source in all the rooms. And there's a little knob on the front of it that somehow it allows you to adjust the volume for whatever room that it's playing in. And you can also group it together and adjust the volume in all the groups of rooms for the vinyl player, you know, for whatever you're listening to. And again, it does not need to be located where all the other hardware is located. So if you want to have an ode to vinyl in a room, you really could, you know, set up a wireless Victrola with all your greatest, you know, vinyl covers and really create an experience and listen to it in that room and all in the rest of the house with quite ease. And the design looks, you know how Sonos does it. Design is always a huge part of their function. And the guys,
you know, that's part of the, you know, it works with Sonos. And when you talked about headphones later, surely when a manufacturer may see this turntable and think, well, maybe it will open the options for headphones that work with Sonos. So that could fill the gap that you mentioned. So, you know, it's out there. There's obviously a works with Sonos opportunity. Maybe that could open up floodgates for headphone manufacturers or microphone manufacturers, whatever the, you know, karaoke, Sonos karaoke, maybe.
Maybe. So let me ask you just a quick poll on your side of the water. Do most people over on your side of the water have vinyl? Do you ask them?
It's sometimes obvious when you're doing the surveys, you know, when you're in the property, you'll see, you know, a stack system of hi-fi equipment, but I would say it's rare. Maybe like 1 in 100 customers will have.
Oh, really?
Yeah, rare.
It seems like everybody over here has vinyl.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Even if they don't have a player, if I ask them, they're like, oh, yeah, I got a couple of records. They just hang on to them.
Yeah, I think a lot of the vinyl over here has ended up in yard sales and kind of garage sales type thing.
That's unfortunate. Gamble, man, that's been a strong 30 minutes right there. Talking about one of our favorite manufacturers that I really think they got their product straight. And I'm glad they're in my portfolio, to be honest with you. They make it easy.
Yeah, like I said, cornerstone of both our businesses and lots of other home tech pros out there. And if you want to learn more about Sonos, all we're going to say is if you don't know, ask the home tech pro.
Yeah, absolutely. And friends, we really appreciate you tuning in today for another one of our episodes. What is this, 147, I think?
147.
Yeah, 147. And if you are interested in anything else that we have to say, please take a look at our website at digitalrambleshow.com. You can find us on 11 different podcast streaming services, Spotify, Apple Music, Anchor FM, which is a super cool podcast streaming service where you can actually leave us a voicemail. And last but not least, if you want to go old school and send us an email, then you can do that and send it to digitalrambleshow@gmail.com. And until next time, have a fantastic day.